Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay. We're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5. As we record this, we have just finished watching Episode 10, and that's right where they did kind of a, I want to say a mid-season hiatus, but it's really only going to be about a month, I guess.
An Olympic break.
But they've done 10 episodes so far. We may have spoilers not only for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the rest of the Marvel Universe, maybe some comparisons to some other current superhero-based shows. And I thought the last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was incredibly strong.
Yes.
With the arcs leading from one to another to another. And was really looking forward to this season because they started it off in a fairly interesting, with a teaser at the end of last season with Phil in space.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for all I knew, he'd been exiled to, you know, like an asteroid quarry or something. Turns out they made it into the future.
Yes.
The future was not all it was cracked up to be, and they've spent the 10 episodes in the future. 9 of the 10. One of them was back in time to get Fitz up to the future.
Yes.
And I think it's better writing than it had during most of seasons 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Don't think it's as good as season 4.
I agree. Well, and part of the strength of season 4 was there was a lot of character growth. You know, Fitz really grew and evolved and had to face the consequences of his actions and deal with the repercussions emotionally of life in the Matrix. Mac, life in the Matrix, the whole he got to see what would have been like had his child lived.
Yeah.
There was just so much meat in those episodes.
Well, and I think we're going to get ramifications on the later half of the season for what's happened already.
And they did some subtle stuff here. Well, at one point, I was teasing you the episode, I think it was even titled, Leave No Man Behind.
I wouldn't say subtle. I would say almost nonsensical.
Well, okay, I see where you're going. But my point was they ended up creating a family unit that was almost a callback to Yo-Yo being willing to die in the Matrix with Mac, if he would rather die happy as a father than come back into the real world, the fighting and the constantly facing one battle after another, because evil will not die.
Certainly, there's been a lot of character progression, and a lot of what they're doing, both last season and now, would have been harder without the seeds they had already set. And Fitz is changed a lot over the course of what happened last season, and we're seeing the ramifications of that this season.
Yeah.
And
well, there was one thing he did in episode 10 that Fitz of season 1, episode 1 wouldn't have considered.
And Simmons was just dumbfounded. It's like, you just did that.
Yes.
Kind of a reaction. And he explained, and it made sense, but that's not something I think she thought he had in him.
Yes.
And she's seeing the ramifications of the Matrix. I did like how early on, when most of the team has made it to the future, Fitz isn't there, and they basically wind up finding a postcard of, hey, I'm on it.
Yes.
And then they realize they're like 90 years in the future or something.
Yeah.
And then we get that flashback episode, which I thought was a fun use of Hunter.
Yes.
And I thought that was a really strong episode.
I think one thing that nagged at me throughout these 10 episodes, and I wish in episode 10, Coulson had just asked Deke, who are your parents? We might have a chance to meet them, to say hi to something.
And at the very least, what's your last name?
Yes.
Who were your great-grandparents?
Yeah.
I think they're all operating on the theory that once they go back in time, they can prevent this future and none of it will have happened, but still wanting to leave it on a solid note. In other words, not just assume it would all get fixed and this would never happen.
Agreed, but clearly Deke's parents were pretty awesome. maybe even Hunter and Bobby-esque.
They're not. It's clearly not those two, because again, we're off by a generation or so.
True.
Granted, they've cheated a little around that with Yo-Yo.
Yes.
And that revelation at the end of 9 of Cassius, the Kree overlord of what remains of Earth, having his own seer.
Yeah.
Pretty much came out of nowhere, because I didn't feel over the other episodes he had any pre-knowledge or anything. It didn't seem like he never mentioned having a seer. He never seemed to have any advantage out of that.
No. He never seemed to have knowledge. He never seemed to have a game plan. He wasn't disappearing off to consult with someone.
Yeah. He was an interesting character.
To me, he was very much a Roman emperor, a la maybe Nero.
Yeah, definitely. I can totally see that.
I wish they had created a more interesting character there.
He was fun to watch, and I think he was well developed, and I liked him as a character, but I agree that the big bad...
To me, in terms of the plot, he was boring. He was fun in the moment and in the scenes, but in terms of overall what was happening, he wasn't compelling.
He certainly wasn't ambitious.
Yes.
And lacking a clear game plan.
He was biding his time in exile, amusing himself, and planning to kill everyone on his way out.
Yeah.
So to me, that was just kind of a ho-hum, boring, I'm not really trying to get anything out of this.
About the only plan he seemed to have, which you could argue had involved that pre-knowledge he got, was wiping out as much knowledge within the human community of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming from the past.
Well, and he seemed to not believe it. He exiled the people to the surface because he didn't want them to have hope, not because he believed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until, I think it was even episode 10, where he was seeing the drawings from the old lady. And he's like, wait, they have to go back in order to create the world I live in.
Well, that was his first confirmation that what his seer was saying was true. And that makes sense. I don't know that this should have been 10 episodes for this arc, I guess is where I'm at. I liked it. I thought it was good.
I thought they did some interesting world building in terms of creating this strange future where the Earth is broken apart and there is one place that we're aware of with a self-contained environment where humanity is able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of that, I think they created a unique culture.
I agree they did a lot of world building there, but because it's 90 years in the future, does it matter at all in the greater vantage point of the Marvel MCU?
Cassius had a more interesting game plan. If he had been doing something, the whole 10 episodes would have been more interesting. I mean, these 10 episodes feel like they were setting up the back half of the season to now we have to prevent what we just lived through.
I agree, but not in the way that the early parts of season 4 led into the later parts in a fairly natural and way that almost seems inevitable now or something.
Well, and the way they threw in Coulson is dying, as opposed to we had been given reason to assume, Coulson died in battle or whatever. Not the whole, this was caused by trying to save Coulson.
Again, last minute, forced in, didn't feel... I guess that's the thing, is what they're doing this season feels very...
Unplanned?
Unsubtle.
True.
I think it's planned.
Well, I guess...
But not planned well ahead.
There you go. And that's why I'm saying unplanned. Last season felt more like somebody sat down over the summer and made an outline for the season.
Well, and they may have that outline, but I don't think they drilled down successfully like they did last year.
Yeah.
Where there were things being planted early on that led to other things, that led to other things, that led to other things. Yeah. Here, it's we've got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We've set the scene that Coulson won't be there. We haven't really explained. Oh, yeah, we got to do it by now because, we're running out of time.
Yeah.
If they had done just a few tweaks, I think they could have made for a much better setup for the next half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
If instead of Cassius having this bottle of what I'm going to call Venom, which is a Bane reference from Batman, drink the thing, get big, powerful, and go nuts. If instead of that, he had basically found a way to have a hiding area in his room that when S.H.I.E.L.D. is using it to resurrect the monolith that sent them back in time.
He gets to go with them.
He goes with them.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
Because they then could have not necessarily have S.H.I.E.L.D. be aware of that immediately.
Yeah.
They're trying to save the world, and he's basically trying to conquer the Kree universe or whatever, because he's now got 90 years of pre-knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess in terms of things that make sense, Coulson is now injured, dying, whatever, and we've been told that Daisy is Quake, the destroyer of worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everything we've seen in four seasons leading up to this does have kind of a father-daughter bond between the two. We believe Quake would do anything to save Coulson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why causing an earthquake or some equivalent that destroys the world would save him? Huge mystery to me.
Again, I'm not sure that, one, she's responsible for the destroying of the world.
I don't think so.
It could be a number of things.
They seemed to have jumped to a lot of conclusions based on lack of information. And they were pretty clear about, we have little information, and yet we're sure we know this.
Yeah. The amount of information that survived the apocalypse seems very questionable. And again, for me, it goes back to, I'm not reading too much into that because the writers, it doesn't feel like they've got that game plan.
Yeah.
I mean, again, back in that episode, what was it, 5 or whatever, when we see how Fitz makes it to the future.
Mm-hmm.
He's stocking up all sorts of weaponry and stuff, including the powerful, you know, hand or whatever for Coulson that he never seems to get and use.
Yes. And I actually commented at one point, I'm like, wait, Coulson hasn't even gotten his arm. Now, what's hilarious to me about that is I think it's in the first episode when they realize they're in, they don't know where, etc. And Coulson basically can't use the robotic arm for anything cool.
Mm-hmm.
And Mac is saying, what the heck? Why won't your arm do the shield and all the cool stuff? And he's like, we were having dinner in the diner expecting to get arrested. I thought they were going to confiscate my arm.
I took the civilian hand.
Yes.
Be hard enough in prison without an appendage.
Yes.
But I mean, they were setting it up for, hey, Mac, can you give me a hand?
Yes.
And
I just thought it was hilarious that he had kind of his vacation arm and his work arm.
But we clearly saw the work one or whatever.
Yes.
Being set up. So it was that setup and lack of payoff.
Yeah.
Bothers me. Some of the setup, even that had payoff with Enoch.
Yeah.
Who's essentially a recorder in the Marvel Universe. You've got the Watcher who sees over things, but there's a group of sentient robots that are recording and whatnot. And this is a very different look for the character, but it's the same idea. So we've seen that. Anyways, the beginning of the season spent a good couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Setting Enoch up as clearly he's alien, he's weird, he's different, whatever. But we're like, who is this guy? Why do we care? Why are we spending so much time on it?
Why are we watching him go swimming? Why are we seeing his kitchen with kitty drawings on the fridge? What's the point?
He's the agent that goes and captures the agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and sends them to the future. And then we don't see him for about a month.
Yeah.
In terms of watching time on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So that setup would have made more sense if they had taken those scenes out of the first episode and dropped them into the one with Hunter.
Yes. Yes.
Because they were already rolling back anyways in terms of this is what happened from Fitz's perspective.
Well, and how Fitz got a message to Hunter after he had been taken into custody and put in some kind of black site, that was priceless and well done. So they had some great moments.
Again, I think the writing is good. The plotting
is
where I think this season is not holding up for me as well as last.
Yeah.
But last season I thought set a fairly high bar.
Yes.
Every episode moves stuff forward. There's a lot of character stuff going on and whatnot. Here, the moments are good, but the again, we get set up with no payoff.
I wanted Flint to go back in time with Mac and Yo-Yo. I thought they did a great job of establishing those three as a surrogate family.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, we're not positive Mac and Yo-Yo made it back.
That's true. But I also thought they did a good job of establishing if Quakes apart the Earth, having Flint there to help hold it together.
Flip side, Flint could have been the one that destroyed it, had he gone back. I think there's grounds to believe that Mac and Yo-Yo did not make it back.
Really?
Who were they with? Simmons. Simmons and Fitz are always getting split apart.
That's true. Okay.
Why Gemma went down to go after them all and stuff, and Fitz stayed, I don't know.
She had the little wormy bug thing, and she wasn't going to leave people behind.
That I get. Mm-hmm. Why didn't Fitz go with her?
He needed to stay there and be talking to Enoch and controlling what was happening with the machine and the monolith. I think it was weak, don't get me wrong.
At that point, I don't think he knew that. Flint had it under control.
The monolith, but not the coordinating with
they
the ship.
They couldn't take another radio?
I was confused how many radios they had and where they came from.
Fair point.
I assume they came from the ship at some point.
I would think so, but mm-hmm. There are a number of things that were just wildly coincidental.
We saw, I guess, May and Yo-Yo survive and be original residents of the lighthouse.
Same with Fitz and Simmons.
We saw them around 2020, 2024, but I couldn't tell if they were original residents of the lighthouse at that point.
I'm not sure.
But we clearly saw May and Yo-Yo walking the corridors of the lighthouse and saying, this isn't how civilization should be, and that kind of thing. And I was frustrated that that knowledge never got passed on to the characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of did when Robin, the young girl that we'd seen in a previous season, grows yeah. up, is still having the visions because she's the seer and stuff, and tells Melinda that, you know, hey, you raised me.
You were my mom. Yeah.
Which was a good scene.
It was really well done. And they did a great job after that with Daisy teasing May with the whole, you do the mom face.
Yeah. Again, good character moments and stuff, but there's aspects of some of it that I think the story beats and the plot points, they could have mm-hmm. doled them out a little bit better and had things be a lot tighter.
Yeah.
Because when we get an ending comment in one episode and then the next is when it pays off and it's like, well, it's they thought of it just barely in time to put it in the last one is what it feels like.
Yeah.
Flip side, there are other things where, again, they set it up and waited too long for a payoff. Enoch is a good example.
Well, and I mean, with Tess, the way she dies, she comes back. We allude to Coulson's been to this. Coulson references, I know where you've been. I was teasing you at the time. Just a line about Tahiti.
Mm-hmm.
It's a magical place.
Yeah, that would have been nice. And it also would have been nice if there had been something earlier to let us know that the Kree had the ability to
yes.
bring a human back from the dead.
Yes. Well, even if Coulson had simply complained, as if the Kree haven't done enough to me with that whole Tahiti debacle.
There should have been a line early on from him of the Kree. Why did it have to be the Kree?
Yes.
And it's interesting because in a previous season when he was doing all the carving on the wall and stuff, that clearly was not Kree language because at this point in the station, he didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things there that the dots don't totally connect.
Yeah.
But I was enjoying a lot of what we were getting.
Yeah.
It just felt a little too much of it was the life in the civilization type thing or society.
Yeah.
That now that presumably we're going to, when the show comes back, jump back to present day and none of that will matter.
Yeah, we invested a lot of time in world building that we're trying to avoid. It was a cautionary tale.
I don't know if I'd say it's a cautionary tale. I mean, it's not like it was. It's basically don't let the world get destroyed. Okay, that's.
It was also, though, be careful about who has too much power. Be careful about letting people divide you. It wasn't until the humans worked together.
Oh, there's.
That things that's improved.
Fair. There's strength and unity and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious.
I mean, think about the fact that the Kree got the humans to kill one another for genuinely no reason at times, other than Kree entertainment and Kree motto.
I would have enjoyed an episode in there somewhere, and I don't know where we got how the Earth, from the Earth falling apart to where we're at 90 years later.
Yeah.
Or however many.
I wanted to understand how Cassius came into power.
How did he come into power? How did the Kree kind of take over?
Mm-hmm.
How did this lighthouse thing get to where it's at
mm-hmm.
with the mishmash of technologies and the sort of the consolidation and dumbing down of the human race?
Yeah.
I think there was a definite episode or series of flashbacks to be had there.
Yeah.
And some of that could have simply been when Deke had that VR thing.
Yes.
They could have done essentially a holodeck episode, if you will.
Yeah.
Where we see Coulson or somebody walking around these video footage clips or whatever as they're bouncing through time as research to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is they could have easily done that during the period that Coulson, Mac, and Yo-Yo were working for...
The scavenger dude.
The scavenger guy. The others having to cover where is Coulson while Coulson's in essentially what looked like an opium den or whatever.
Yeah.
Doing the VR thing, doing the research.
Yeah. Well, and I can get the whole, they don't know the history before the world was destroyed, but it seems like they should know their 90-year history.
Yeah. And the fact that we never really learned much of it.
Yeah.
We got bits and pieces of, again, what was going on with May through Robin's perspective.
Yeah.
But when did this, you know, a life spent, a life earned kind of thing come in?
Yeah.
The things they had in their arms for the trackers or whatever.
Well, and they seemed to basically not be allowed to have kids the old-fashioned way. They had to earn a baby from the Kree.
Mm-hmm. Very mind-boggling aspects of that.
Yeah.
It wasn't the story they were trying to sell, but it was relevant parts of the world they were telling a story in.
Yes.
And that would have been nice. I don't know. There were just a couple of things there that it didn't feel like it was as thought through.
Yeah.
And I'm curious where they're going to go with the rest of the season. Because right now, all we've got is vague direction of, but don't let the Earth get destroyed,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of their mandate anyways.
Yes.
Don't let Coulson die,
mm-hmm.
which I think was kind of sort of their mandate anyways.
Yeah.
Anything else can happen to keep them busy in the meanwhile.
We have Daisy with the inhibitor turned on.
Yeah, but to me, that comes down to they get back in time, they get back to a base, and a commercial break later, Fitz and Simmons either have no idea, so give them an episode, or they've got an idea, and now that not only can they turn off powers, maybe they can amp them up or something.
I was going to say, most of the obstacles seem to be they didn't have a surgeon or a surgery ward, etc.
They didn't have the tech they were used to.
Yeah.
Put them back in their lab. Doesn't seem like it'd be a big deal. And I would hope Daisy's mindset is keep it in there, but turn it off. To where if she does start to destroy the world.
Yeah.
But even that'll have problems.
And, I mean, the interesting thing about having it turned on was she did get to show she is a good agent. It's mm-hmm. not just that she's a good inhuman agent.
Yes. It definitely justified her as an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So.
Like I said, there were moments I enjoyed. I just wish that the plotting and the consistency across it all had been a little higher.
Yeah, a little tighter, a little better. Again, like you said, the moments were good, but I don't feel like we've covered as much ground in 10 episodes as we did in 10 last time.
Yeah,
or
even
in
6 last time.
Well, by that point, we'd done, the Ghost Rider arc, gotten into the LMD arc, set up for a lot of the later arcs, I believe.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing that.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I'm curious how much time will have elapsed from when they get dropped off.
Yes.
I mean, do they get dropped off while Fitz is still going through his plan or something?
Yeah. Well, and they didn't arrive all together in the same spot.
Yes.
So, you know, it's anyone's guess how they'll arrive back.
Yeah. And again, if Mac, Yo-Yo, and Simmons made it or not.
Yeah.
So, we'll find out. So, we've got a few weeks before it kicks back in. Once the series season ends, we'll come back and talk some more.
That works.
So, we've just finished watching the season finale of fifth season of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
mm-hmm.
which when they were filming and stuff, they weren't sure if they were going to be a sixth season. Looks like there'll be a 10-episode sixth season, but it may be a little ways from now.
Yeah, what I was just reading said it won't air until after Avengers 4 has been in the theater, which is something like April 2019.
So roughly a year from now.
Yeah.
So late season replacement, almost after season sort of a thing. Interesting. So where we left off on our previous discussion is they were heading back to the present, we thought. Turns out they made it there. And they covered a number of things.
Well, let's start with, we weren't even positive who was coming back to the present. We thought we knew.
True. It was possible that Mac and Yo-Yo might not have made it.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid, the one with the rock powers.
Flint. And he ended up staying in the future.
He didn't make it back, but everybody else did.
Including Deke.
Including Deke and including Daisy. And Deke, we thought, was dead.
Yes.
So there was a episode or two kind of situating them back in the lighthouse in the current day. And of course, they had to, they were on the run. They had to stay on the, down low and stuff like that.
They've been missing for 6 months.
Yeah. And there were a new threat of General Hale was introduced for the later half of the season. And she brought in her daughter, who was essentially a crazed killer.
Yes.
There was a lot of, if S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't exist, S.H.I.E.L.D. wouldn't have anything to fight sort of problem.
Yeah. And, I mean, how many times are we going to discover that Hydra isn't actually dealt with?
True. At least this time they introduced a new concept overall of, is the future set in stone or not?
Yes.
And played with that pretty well, with a few characters convinced that the timeline is set. It has already happened, therefore it will happen.
Yeah.
And when they actually seem to change things, or not seem to, they definitely change stuff. Deke from the future, who was afraid he would just blink out of existence once that happened, we didn't see afterwards.
Yeah. So, no one went looking for him either.
Nobody even mentioned him.
Yeah.
But that's weird because they seemed to be a lot of people going and looking for Fitz out in space.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that whole future timeline stuff still.
Yeah.
It's not like there was a reset of the timeline where that loop closes and things smooth out.
Yeah.
It also is unclear if Graviton is completely dealt with or not.
Well, he said he couldn't breathe in space.
True, but somebody could find his frozen corpse and reanimate or something.
Or just take the gravitonium.
Out of him.
Yeah.
There's a lot they could do there. The whole arc with Talbot.
I got worried when he got a goatee.
Well, yeah, he went crazy. He was being manipulated. He was certainly under somebody's control, General Hales and stuff. But the minute he's absorbed the gravitonium, gone up, exhibiting powers, gone up to the spaceship, and it's like, well, he gets this fancy superhero suit and the evil goatee. It's like, yeah, he's Graviton.
Yeah.
And he looked very much like the character from the comics. A couple of differences in the costume.
He did have a pretty entertaining line, because I guess Creel had tried touching the gravitonium, and he's like, there are two guys in there, and they're fighting, and they're driving me crazy. And he starts going nuts. So everybody's saying, nobody can interact with it. Nobody can go into the
subtly named
Destroyer of Worlds machine.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go crazy. And then Talbot's like, turns out all they needed was a general.
Yeah, the fact he was thought he was on the path to being a hero, having become the Destroyer of Worlds. Not very solid logic there. I will admit I was a little disappointed and surprised how quickly some of the things future Yo-Yo told present Yo-Yo came true when we got back to the present day.
Yes. I was disappointed in the arms.
Yeah, I was not.
Not just on the whole visually, I didn't enjoy it, that aspect, but the way it had played out in the future. It seemed to have been Cassius had tortured her.
Yes. It the implication of when she lost the arms, how and why, what they implied and what they did didn't match.
Yeah.
And also, once she got the robotic arms after a couple episodes, that seemed to work pretty well. She could use them with her powers up until it was inconvenient for that. Suddenly, there was this feedback problem.
Yeah.
That seemed a little inconsistent on the writing. And another inconsistency along those lines was Fitz and Simmons finally get married. They've got this vow. We're never leaving each other's side.
Yeah.
Yet they do it on a repeated basis.
They were pretty good about it for an episode or two. And then people started basically persuading them. And that was when we started getting a lot of the reassurance. We know we live long enough to have a daughter who has memories of both of us.
Yes.
It was an interesting cycle of logic.
It is, and there's going to be some stuff that plays out next season, probably. Presuming they go find the Fitz that was sent to the future that no longer needs to go there because the Earth's saved.
Well, and he's going the slow way.
He's going the slow way. So he's out in space in suspended animation. They go find him, thaw him out, and be a little weird for him, but equally weird for Simmons, because she's married to him, but that him isn't married to her.
Yeah.
So, again, a little bit of recalibration of that dynamic, I think, would be good. They're fun characters to watch.
Yeah.
And I was a little disappointed with the let's kill him off and then the it's really not a big deal. We can just go fetch the spare copy.
Yeah.
Which is the original.
Yeah.
So I...
And thank God we knew for quite a while, like from the second or third episode of the season, it seemed like, that we were going to turn one of our ships into a spaceship.
I forget how early we learned that.
Because didn't Deke say that there were crashed ships on the surface? And then we eventually went to it and got it running again.
But we didn't know it was their ship.
That's true.
That was later in the first half. Deke in the present day was just kind of funny.
He was all over the place.
And at the end where he'd suddenly read books and knew idiomatic expressions and things like that.
He had figured out how to blend in because he flopped it that miserably on arrival day and got arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And his attitude of, you guys are going to go either destroy the world and create the world I grew up in, or fix the world and I'm not going to exist. So I've figured out how to go be a kid in a candy store for whatever hours I have.
It would have been nice to have at least seen him turn a corner and blink out of existence or something.
Yeah.
And it also would have been nice if over this second half of the season, we had seen him hoarding books, reading books, or something.
Yeah.
The bit they did at the end of you know, here's my 2 cents, oh yeah, I read a book on idiomatic expressions, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Seeing his quarters full of stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of came out of nowhere. Where was he getting the stuff from?
Well, it certainly wasn't from the inventory room that they blew up early on.
Yeah.
But the whole, this is a 80s era shield bunker or some such.
Which had some humor to it. It
certainly had some humor, but again, they were a little inconsistent with that. And how it fell off the books, what it had in there, what it didn't. Some of that was all over the place. The biggest problem I had with the lighthouse present day was it didn't really look all that much like what we had seen in the future.
Yeah.
Or what we'd seen at the beginning of the season in the present. And this whole, we blew open a fear dimension.
Yeah.
That whole thing was just so they could introduce some crazy threats here and there magically. And it was surprising how much of this later part of the season was as much of a bottled show as the first half.
Yes.
The difference was there was a world to go out into for the second half.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when Hale early on got the DNA results on Deke, and it's, you know, he seems to be related to both Fitz and Simmons. Doesn't raise an eyebrow, doesn't get intrigued. When Coulson is captured and says, well, we've been in the future for 6 months. Doesn't believe it, thinks he's playing with her. Doesn't say, wonder if that's at all connected to that strange DNA result.
She probably chalked that up as to a computer glitch or error or hoax. But we never saw her do that.
She seemed more to attribute that to be proof that that would be why S.H.I.E.L.D. was in the area, or proof that S.H.I.E.L.D. was in the area. If someone connected to both Fitz and Simmons was in the area, then yeah, Fitz, Simmons, and S.H.I.E.L.D. likely were.
She never chased down their genealogy to know that they had no common ancestors or whatever.
Yeah.
There was some opportunity for clarification there.
Yeah.
And they were mainly playing Deke for laughs.
Yes.
At that point, or for setting up the we're invincible because we've got a grandkid that's not born yet.
Yeah.
And it would have been nice if at one point they had to, Fitz and Simmons had to explain to, and I'm not sure who, somebody, the grandfather paradox.
Yes.
And how it clearly has to be this way, and have them, but sci-fi says it could be clearly any of these ways.
Yeah.
But it's not a time travel show, even though they did quite a bit of time travel. Well, a back and a forth this season. Bringing Hydra back with Hale and stuff, again, that next season maybe, if we're lucky, the only season we don't see Hydra in.
Yeah. Well, and it was funny because a lot of the stuff they did with Hale and Hydra felt like callbacks to Ward.
Callbacks to Ward and callbacks to, what was that, the doctor that,
Yeah.
You know, the Reed Diamond. The blonde
one, yeah.
And he actually came back this season for that episode.
Yeah.
And when we get the flashback on General Hale's backstory, it was interesting, it was good, but I'm tired of Hydra.
Yeah.
We also had a callback to the LMDs with the Russian guy.
Yes.
Callbacks to, obviously, the Gravitonium stuff from first season. What else did we get called back? There was a passing mention of the Infinity Gauntlet movie stuff.
Well, we got, in a roundabout way, we got Daisy's mom.
Yes.
And the woman, I can't think of her name, who was kind of hooking them up with Inhumans and was helping Inhumans early on. The one who helped Quinn end up getting swallowed by the Gravitonium.
Oh, the one with the flower dresses or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget that character's name. We also had callbacks to the memory machines and stuff with Strucker's kid.
Yeah.
So they did quite a bit of callbacks in building up on the history and stuff. We saw Deathlok again.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that they're five seasons in. They've got a history to play with in the show. I thought that was good. Although it would have been fun if they had had to sneak into their past bases to go get Nick Fury's, you know, computer cube or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Things of that sort. Some of the stuff that they had set up early in the season that never paid off, you know, with the stashing of the weapons and stuff like that, still never paid off.
Yeah.
It was a decent season. It was a fun season. It was one that was worth staying current-ish, but I don't think it was their best season. Fourth season was really good.
Yeah. Well, this was one where, and maybe it's because they did the two arcs, I wasn't a huge fan of the overall arc. The guiding principle early on that Daisy, as Quake, destroys the Earth annoyed me. It seemed unlikely because she's a hero.
The irony is when she finally got the power to be able to do that, she saved the planet.
Yeah.
And I don't know what message they thought they were sending there, but particularly once we got back to the present and there were two other possible destroyer of worlds.
Yeah.
I was also disappointed where in the finale they show the clip in the previously on of her seeing the clip of her walking out prior to the destruction of the Earth, and she goes out in the same outfit, she goes out the same, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you're fulfilling the prophecy, essentially.
Yeah.
Do something different.
I was disappointed in Yo-Yo in the second half.
I was generally disappointed with Yo-Yo this season.
I thought in the first half, Yo-Yo and Mac and Flint were an interesting surrogate family.
True.
And I thought they did some interesting stuff there. But then we get back here, and she is so single-minded on trying to understand what her future self told her and trying to make sure that they don't destroy the world, that she kills someone who wasn't going to destroy the world.
I think the minute she talked to her future self, her character went downhill this season.
Yeah.
She became much less heroic.
Yeah.
Again, to the point of killing people. She became exceedingly stubborn, single-minded, and
afraid and vengeful at times.
Well, and almost delusional.
Yeah.
I can't be killed. I've seen my future self.
Yeah.
And I get that there was enough evidence supporting the theory of a closed time loop of what we have seen happen will happen.
But the whole theory of the season was we are fighting to change the future at any cost.
Yes. Well, it goes back to Mac's comment of we hang on to hope.
Yeah.
It was a good season for him.
Yes.
Second half of the season was not good for Yo-Yo. It was a mixed bag for Fitz and Simmons.
Yeah.
Better for Simmons than Fitz. He seemed to just be going off the deep end.
Yeah.
The episode in which he cures Sky and takes the inhibitor out and stuff.
Yeah.
He was just kind of nuts.
Yeah.
And that goes back to that whole fear dimension thing.
Well, a combination of that and his, what was it, doctor persona from their equivalent of the Matrix.
Yeah, he was still having almost a schizophrenia from the whatever they had called the
network or the whatever virtual it was. World
last season.
Yeah.
And again, I like how those things carry forward and have ramifications. I didn't care for the ramifications.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that aspect of the writing.
Mm-hmm.
The inclusion of Piper that we had seen in earlier seasons, didn't care for. She was a very forgettable character.
Yeah, same with the guy who did some of the piloting on the plane.
Yeah, forgettable named pilot dude.
Well, and to the point that you may have even gotten frustrated with me, because at one point we said a few words to each other, next scene starts, and as I start paying attention again, Deke is saying, wow, that's an amazing story. And I'm like, hey, wait, back up. Maybe they're telling us how we should recognize forgettable pilot dude.
This guy was clearly telling Deke how he is an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., why he's relevant to the story. And they cut just a sentence or two too late. I'm like, you know, a clue would have been, was it with the Inhumans? Was it with this guy's father? Was it Hydra? What was it?
Yeah, they came in just late enough in the story of, and that's why I'm great, basically. And I'm like, sorry I made you rewind for that.
Well, a lot of the callbacks, it's like I can kind of sort of play some more than others, but when you've got a character that we seem to feel like we should know, and I just don't.
Well, when Hale first went into space through her magic transporter thing, I'm like, that guy is, I don't know, sounding like a Kree, acting like a Kree. This is how Hale goes to communicate with the Kree, whether she realizes it or not.
Turns out he wasn't a Kree. He was in alliance with the Kree, though.
Exactly. Very true. But I was close, because in comes Cassis' father into that room later on. And I'm like, I had the wrong person, but the right place.
It bothered me that when she goes to meet with the alien cabal, she goes to a dark room. Apparently aliens can't afford lighting.
Yes, they can.
Low-res, 8-bit pixelized graphics as wall decoration or whatever.
Low-res pixelated lighting that's blue on the wall.
My point is, you could see the lighting on the wall, but you couldn't see the people in the room.
Yes, I agree. I did not care for... I expected
when Coulson got up there or whatever at one point, to him to walk forward and start to trip over something. It's like, could you turn the lights on?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the alien cabal stuff never really seemed to go too far other than to threaten the lighthouse, so Phil accidentally got it to a lockdown to threaten to blow itself up or whatever.
No, it got into some kind of 50-year lockdown because he pressed option 2 because he didn't wait for option 3.
Yeah, which felt a little out of character. But then for Graviton to take over the ship, it's my ship now.
Yeah.
I didn't really see what their plan was and such for the aliens. And again, there was no backup for the aliens. And it's funny because the finale, when Talbot crashes the ship in Chicago and it's resting on the top of skyscrapers, I'm like, this is major headline level event along the lines of the New York incident and
yes,
those things.
Yeah.
That it seems more relevant, frankly, than the happenings of some of the movies. Are more newsworthy, I would say.
Yeah. Well, it certainly felt like he had reached supervillain a la New York incident status.
Yeah.
And he's still proudly proclaiming himself Earth's savior.
I was more okay with that because he was always a little nuts than the directionless running around of the people after the ship had crashed.
Where do we go? Where do we go?
There were a few people running like towards him.
Yeah.
One or two that were continuing to drive, stop their car, and then run out. It's like, dude, you're in a car. Drive.
Yeah.
So there was a little nonsensicalness there. It was good effects, though.
I liked when Mac took charge.
That was surprising. That goes towards how many different heads of S.H.I.E.L.D. have we had in this series?
Coulson, Jason O'Mara.
Coulson, Jason O'Mara. Didn't we have Fury at the beginning? We did.
I thought name only.
Name only. We saw him once or twice.
Hmm. Well, that's true. He dipped his hand in the water to get Fitz and Simmons out. Okay.
So we've got all that. We also had Maria Hill for a while.
Oh, that's right.
And I thought there was maybe somebody else at one point. You could argue, Edward James Olmos.
Yeah. And then Daisy and Mac both in the second half here.
So we've had more effectively, whether they literally held the title or not, directors of S.H.I.E.L.D. than we've had seasons.
Potato, potato.
True.
Well, I mean, how often has S.H.I.E.L.D. been declared a national heroes versus on the national watch list?
That does seem to swing back and forth. That's the one thing I think in the sixth and presumably final season, they need to put S.H.I.E.L.D. back on the map as the good guys.
Yeah.
And not struggling to do so. That should be a rebuilding thing. Put it not back in the same state it was when the show started, but hopefully in a better one.
Yeah.
That's one of the main things I think they've got to do. And effectively with 10 episodes, they get an arc versus two or three. You know, we got basically two this season. We got three, maybe four last season.
I was just so disappointed that Flint didn't come back from the future with us, since if the Earth was going to shatter apart, he could hold it together.
True. Do you think that the prophecy of Coulson putting the pieces together came true? I don't.
Maybe. And I say that because Coulson was the one who heard what everyone said.
So put the pieces of S.H.I.E.L.D. back together?
Put the pieces of the problem together into a solution. He heard them saying, we only have one centipede solution. We can either give it to you to save you or use it to depower Talbot. He put the one vial of solution, the one syringe, into Quake's hands and empowered her to get close to Talbot by telling her how to bait Talbot to her.
Yeah, that wasn't what we were led to believe was going to happen, and...
Totally agree.
And I don't think you're wrong. I think it's a little bit of a stretch, though.
It's a different interpretation of the concept.
Yeah. It didn't seem like there was as good of a game plan.
And the way they were talking about the centipede serum, it sounded like either we mix it with one thing and it saves Coulson, or we mix it with something else and it depowers Talbot.
Absolutely, because that's when May broke the thing that would have depowered Talbot, is her vote on the matter.
So the injecting it into Daisy instead of Coulson, when Talbot's about to absorb Daisy, and using that and her powers to quake him as he's absorbing her.
Well,
and that
it does essentially the trick. Was a I don't say rejuvenation serum, but it would juice her up. It's funny because at the end of the season, they've effectively written out Coulson and potentially May.
Mm.
They can easily bring them back in.
Yeah.
But it felt like a much of an end note. We've told this era of S.H.I.E.L.D., let's move on. And
well, to the point we've moved on into outer space.
We did that at the beginning of the season.
Okay. True, but we are currently on a ship headed to space to get Fitz.
Yes. Presumably some time will elapse before the next season. They will have found him.
I hope so.
It would be old news to start with them pulling him out and, hey, what's going on? I'm just trying to think of where do they need to go? What's left in I don't say the mandate or whatever. And there's not a whole lot that comes to mind.
I think you're right that they need to rebuild the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the organization does not currently feel like a protective S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm not even sure it's an organization these days.
Yeah.
At best, it's some renegade outlaws. It just seemed like they... Whatever direction they had, it twisted and turned quite a bit from season to season.
Yeah.
From the amount of resources they had to draw on to the impact they had on the world and their standing. And that was a little frustrating. I think Marvel's done so well on the movies, the need for the TV show, if there ever really was a strong one, is diminished.
Mm.
There's also enough other Marvel shows between Netflix and things like Runaways, Cloak and Dagger, etc., Gifted, that there's less need for this.
Yeah.
I'm happy to get part of a sixth season. It's certainly cool. But if they do it without Coulson, it's just not the same.
Yeah, I agree.
So we'll see what they do. Again, I thought this was a fun season. It was good. There are a couple of things that turned me off here and there. But I really think the fourth season was the highlight of the show so far.
Yeah.
They did better arcs. They segued from one to another. It felt like while there were clear phases of it, there was a solid through line for all of it.
Yeah.
This generally lacked that. I also think there were a few points that they kind of tossed out there, like when they got back to the lighthouse and there were three obelisks.
Yes.
And we never really deal with all that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that was part of the Fear Dimension stuff. I'm repressing that stuff. It just wasn't that good.
We saw them in the room that had the explosion.
And I think that's what opened up the Fear Dimension.
Yeah.
That may be it. But then at the end, May was smashing the remaining piece of the time one.
The piece that had originally been given to Fitz and Simmons' daughter.
Yeah, because that way they can totally break the time loop, as if it wasn't already.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens next season. I'm curious. Like I said, this had some good stuff, some frustrating stuff, some
Yeah, I'm trying to think if any of the characters had just any great arcs. And, I mean, Daisy was being pushed into a leadership role. She's certainly grown and matured and become more of a hero throughout the seasons.
Yeah, but I think this was on par with first, second, and third season. It was good. It was decent. But they did such a great job with the character arcs, the material they gave the characters to stretch their wings and stuff last season, that this felt like a bit of a letdown.
Yeah. Well, and pressing Daisy to be a leader simply because, you know, somebody else has to be leader, it didn't feel natural.
Yeah, and we'll see how it works out for Mac next season.
He's the people person of the group.
He's the mechanic. He fixes things.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like they said, moral compass.
Yeah. He was probably lower tier, came in later than everyone else, so not the intuitive first choice to jump up the promotion chain.
Yeah, but I think Daisy's point was needing somebody who's going to do the right thing for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And again, I felt Coulson always fit that mold, but they've essentially taken him potentially out of play.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I hope he comes back next season in some capacity. We were talking about it after we watched and before we started recording. I love the idea of him being an LMD.
Yeah.
Or not being an LMD, being a life model decoys.
Yes.
Something to where you just can't avoid him.
Yeah.
But we'll see what they do. So anything else? Are we good?
I think we're good.
Cool.
The show notes and form for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.